Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. This is God's word. So Isaac summoned Jacob, blessed him, and commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite girl. Go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father. Marry one of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you so that you become an assembly of peoples. May God give you and your offspring the blessing of Abraham so that you may possess the land where you live as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Esau noticed that Isaac blessed Jacob and sent him to Padan Aram to get a wife there. When he blessed him, Isaac commanded Jacob, "Do not marry a Canaanite girl." And Jacob listened to his father and mother and went to Padan Aram. Esau realized that his father Isaac disapproved of the Canaanite women. So Esau went to Ishmael and married, in addition to his other wives, Mahalath, daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son. She was the sister of Nebaioth. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He reached a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. He took one of the stones from the place, put it there at his head, and lay down in that place. And he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground with its top reaching the sky, and God's angels were going up and down on it. The Lord was standing there beside him, saying, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your offspring the land on which you are lying. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out toward the west, the east, the north, and the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Look, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." He was afraid and said, "What an awesome place this is. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that was near his head and set it up as a marker. He poured oil on top of it and named the place Bethel, though previously the city was named Luz. Then Jacob made a vow. "If God will be with me and watch over me during this journey I'm making, if he provides me with food to eat and clothing to wear, and if I return safely to my father's family, then the Lord will be my God. This stone that I have set up as a marker will be God's house, and I will give you a tenth of all that you give me." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Told you before, my name is Jacob. The anglicized version is James, but it derives from Jacob. Means one who trips up. Not meaning clumsy, meaning somebody who grabs hold of somebody else's heel and trips them. That's not a very complimentary name. Not really my favorite, but it's the one I was given. I hope it has not been characteristic of my life. But Jacob had really messed over his brother Esau. Esau was easy mark. But Esau came in hungry from hunting, and Jacob says, I'll give you some of this good food, but only in exchange for your birthright. And Esau foolishly, wickedly despised his birthright and sold it to his brother Jacob for a mess of pottage, a bowl of stew. That was a bad deal. But it doesn't stop there. As you know, he then, at his mother's urging, not just urging, his mother's command, deceived his father into giving him the blessing that his father wanted to give to Esau. Because Esau was preferred by his father, Isaac. Jacob preferred by his mother. And she used her son to trick the old blind man and to get the blessing for her favorite. And God takes these things seriously. Now, something about deceiving people should trouble us. But the image of a young man deliberately deceiving his father, who to top it all off is now a blind man, does that just strike you as really wicked? It should. I mean, this isn't presented to us as, well, boys will be boys. Sometimes moms and dads don't always get along and sometimes they have their disagreements. No, this is history. This is what happened, but it wasn't good. And so it is remarkable that when Jacob is on his way to his uncle's house, obeying his father's direction this time, he's going down looking for a wife, and along the way he runs out of daylight, and so he decides to camp out. He uses a rock, some of the old translations say as a pillow. This just says he put it at his head. Like a tombstone? I don't know. I still kind of think he probably used it as a pillow because he must have been somebody who slept on his side, you know? If you sleep on your back, you can sleep pretty flat. But if you sleep on your side, you don't want to do that. So you want something up underneath there. And so I'm picturing maybe a rock with his blanket over it or something. I mean, I don't know. And then he's going to shiver all night. So don't know exactly how that worked. But he had a rock at his head. And the rock's going to be used the next day as a monument. So apparently it wasn't small. But it was movable because he put it there. So he's now gone to sleep. And God appears to him in a dream. Now please notice that God appears to different people in different ways, at different times, for different purposes. God doesn't just have one way of showing up. God doesn't have just one way of revealing himself or his will to individuals. It doesn't always happen in the same way. In his case, this is a dream. But it is a God-sent dream. I'm going to digress for a moment to let you know that this still happens. When I was on pastoring a church on Cape Cod, our family needed to move. We had outgrown the house that we were in. It was a little place that had two small bedrooms and one small bath downstairs and an unfinished upstairs. And we needed to move from there to another place. And it needed to be a place where we could be on one floor because my oldest son was physically handicapped and couldn't climb up and down the stairs. So we needed to be some place where we could all live together on the same floor. Finding a house like that on Cape Cod was almost impossible. If the house had a downstairs bedroom, the other bedrooms are upstairs. Many of the houses, all the bedrooms are upstairs. So trying to find a house that had more than one bedroom or more than two bedrooms on the first floor was just, that's just not the way they build houses on Cape Cod. We looked in four towns. We contacted multiple realtors and said, look, this is what we're looking for. Please help us get something. Nobody could find anything. It was getting close to the time when we had to move, and it was a cause for concern. My wife and I prayed about it, and we prayed a lot about it. One particular night, we just agreed that we were going to trust the Lord with this. And the next morning, my wife said, I need to talk to you. She said, I had a dream last night, and it was extremely vivid. And she said, I'm not saying that the house I saw in the dream was the exact house we're going to be in, but it was so vivid, and I had this overwhelming sense of peace, and I knew God was saying that he had a place for us and that I could just rest in him. And she began to describe to me this house. She said, it was long and narrow, but it wasn't a ranch. All the bedrooms were on one floor, but you did have to go down a couple of steps into one of the bedrooms. She said it was a strange floor plan, and it was an older house. And the weirdest thing about it was that it was an ocean view. Okay, now on Cape Cod, the price of the real estate is tied enormously to how close it is to the water. And if it has a water view, the price goes way up. In fact, I would say that on Cape Cod, if you can stand on the roof and see a puddle, the realtors will list it as a water view. Okay? I mean, that was the big deal. So there was no way we could possibly afford anything that was a view even of a pond, much less of the ocean. But my wife said the house in her dream was an ocean view. I said, well, I'm so glad that you're feeling better and that the Lord gave you that peace and we're just going to trust God. It was within 2 hours, I think it was within an hour, the phone rang, and it was a realtor who said, Pastor Wood, I think I found the house for you. She said, it's 32 Barcliff Avenue. She said, it's an older home, and it's kind of a strange floor plan. It's long and narrow, but it's not a ranch. The bedrooms are all on the same floor, but you do have to go down a couple of steps into one of the rooms. She used all the same phrases that my wife had used to describe this house, except for one thing. She said nothing about it being a water view. Folks, that would be the first thing out of her mouth as a realtor if it had a water view. I said, when can we look at it? She said, well, I'm going to talk to the owner and see if I can let you in this afternoon to see it. We went over to see it. From every room on that side of the house, you could see the ocean. And as we walked through it, my wife wept. She said, this is the house in my dream. Okay? It's now on the market for $1.2 million. We didn't buy it. We rented. And it actually was a reduction in rent compared to the place that we were in at the time before we moved there. Now, the reason I tell you that is to let you know that happened many, 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 many years ago. We haven't had a lot of dreams like that in our life. This is not the, well, yes, every night we go to sleep and God just reveals to us in dreams the things that are going to happen the next day. No. But when God chooses to, he can still do that kind of thing. And he still does that kind of thing because he loves his children.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees, is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Jacob gets a dream, and in his dream, what he's aware of is God's presence. The God of heaven is present with him. Angels are going up and down this staircase, and the Lord is standing next to him and giving him the same promises that God had given to Abraham and to Isaac. Now God is passing those promises on to Jacob. He's saying, your descendants will be numerous. They will become a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. And this land that you're lying on is going to be yours. And all the area around it will be yours. Jacob wakes up and he's overwhelmed with this sense of this place is God's place. This is the house of God. That's what Beth El means. Beth is house, and El was the name for God, or the title God. This is the house of God. This is Beth El. I'm going to call this place Bethel. I'm going to set up a monument here. I'm going to remember this. And God has promised him, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. And what does Jacob say in response to that? This is where you really see Jacob's true colors coming through. Look at it. Beginning in verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow. If God will be with me and watch over me and during this journey I'm making, if he provides me with food to eat and clothing to wear, and if I return safely to my father's family, then the Lord will be my God. Does that strike any of you as being obnoxious? God has already appeared to him and said to him, verse 15, look, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. Jacob doesn't say, well, I'm not sure that was God. He wakes up, he says, surely this is the Lord's house. Okay, God. I'm willing to give you a try. If you do this, while we're at it, let's say, and if you do this, and if you do this, then you can be my God. See, right about there, I'd be pouring out fire and brimstone if I was God. I mean, what a jerk. What a Jacob. What an awful man. Instead of saying, oh, who am I that you would bless me? I'm a swindler. I'm a deceiver. I'm a liar. I flat out lied to my blind father in order to get what I wanted because mom put me up to it. I'm a loser. But no, he says, oh, you want to be my God, huh? You're promising to bless me, are you? Well, let's just see how that goes. If you do this, and if you do this, and if you do this, then you can be my God. And I'll give you a tenth of everything you give me. If that doesn't bug you, there's something wrong. Okay? And yet God, our amazing God, will call himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It wasn't based on what a good guy Jacob was. It wasn't based on how well Jacob responded to the promises of God. It was based on God's choice. It wasn't Esau's a jerk, Jacob's a good boy. No, God said before either of them had done anything, I chose this one. His choice is not based on our choices. If you are going to heaven, it is not because you chose well. It is not because you're better than somebody else. It is not because you haven't messed up like so-and-so did. If you're going to heaven, it is entirely, entirely, entirely because God has had mercy on you. Who do men say that I am? Well, some say this, some say this. Who do you say that I am? Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The reason you know what you know is because God took the blinders off your eyes. The reason that you have faith is because God removed the heart of stone and gave you a heart of flesh. It is by grace that you're saved. It is by grace, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, lest anyone should boast. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We owe everything to him. We owe everything to him. And Jacob illustrates for us the amazing grace of God. So what should be our attitude?
Well, I'm going to be a jerk like Jacob. You know, I mean, why not?
If you are the recipient of God's grace, it'll change you. It'll absolutely change you. You will not continue in sin that grace may abound. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you will walk as he walked. You will do the will of the Father. You will want to please the Father. Jacob was a deceiver. And if we trace on out his life, he's going to be deceived by others. He's going to be deceived by his uncle. He's going to be deceived by his own sons. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Be careful what you're planting. Jacob was a man who had enormous faults. God chose not only to save him, God chose to use him to bless all the nations of the earth. It is God's work. It is his doing. And it is his name that we praise.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.